Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you for day number 208 as we are digging into Numbers chapter 17 today. It's a short chapter, and I think it'll be a fairly brief devotional today, but it's an important one on seeing the Lord's authority and the Lord's blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love, for your faithfulness, for your unfailing goodness. Your kindness to us is multiplied day by day. Write your word on our hearts today, we pray. Grow us in love for you, in knowledge of you, and in wonder and worship of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Numbers chapter 17. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and get from them staffs, one for each father's house, from all their chiefs according to their father's houses, 12 staffs. Write each man's name on his staff, and write Aaron's name on the staff of Levi, for there shall be one staff for the head of each father's house. Then you shall deposit them in the tent of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. And the staff of the man whom I choose shall sprout. Thus I will make to cease from me the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against you." Moses spoke to the people of Israel, and all their chiefs gave him staffs, one for each chief, according to their fathers' houses, 12 staffs, and the staff of Aaron was among their staffs. And Moses deposited their staffs before the Lord in the tent of the testimony. On the next day, Moses went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, the staff of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds. Then Moses brought out all the staffs from before the Lord to all the people of Israel, and they looked, and each man took his staff. And the Lord said to Moses, "Put back the staff of Aaron before the testimony to be kept as a sign for the rebels, that you may make an end of their grumblings against me, lest they die." Thus did Moses as the Lord commanded him, so he did. And the people of Israel said to Moses, "Behold, we perish. We are undone. We are all undone. Everyone who comes near to the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Are we all to perish?" That's number 17. I chuckle a little bit at the end because it's just so predictable that no matter what the Lord does, his people in this Exodus generation just don't get it. They just don't get it. There's been grumbling after grumbling, rebellion, complaining, uprisings, you know, everything from the 250 men that we saw earlier who rose up as elders of the people and challenged Moses and Aaron's authority and said, "Why did you exalt yourself over us? And you brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey, but you haven't brought us into a land of milk and honey." Before that, you had the rebellion against God's promise of the promised land and the report of Joshua and Caleb, so that the whole congregation was ready to stone Joshua and Caleb. Before that, you had, you know, Aaron and Miriam who rebelled against Moses, and you had, you know, all these grumblings and complainings and all these rebellions. And God is just wanting to show to his people once and for all who it is that he's chosen, who it is that they're to listen to, and why. And it's so important that God would show them who he has chosen and who they should listen to, because false teachers, false prophets, deceivers abound. And they come into the world and they lead people astray and they serve their own interests. And that's what, you know, Korah and his rebellion and the 250 men who, the elders that kind of accompanied him, you know, that's what these people were doing. They were just self-promoting and trying to draw authority away from God's anointed leaders in Moses and Aaron and after themselves. Now, I want to be careful to apply this to ourselves rightly. Okay? The way to apply this rightly today is not to attach loyalty to any human being or to any denomination or group of churches or one particular visible church, human organization church. We are to be loyal to Christ's church, his kingdom of God on earth. And we are to be loyal to Christ. And the way to apply this is not for some guy to say, don't you dare question the Lord's anointed. I am the Lord's anointed. That's the bad examples. The people who rise up in the world today and say things like that, don't you dare speak against the Lord's anointed. I am the man of God. You cannot challenge the Lord's anointed. I am the apple of God's eye. Those people are like the false leaders who led God's people astray from their appointed authority. Rather, what we should see is that it's through Moses and Aaron that God gave his word and his worship to his people, and he did so with accompanying publicly seen, verified eyewitness miracles. And so today, the way I think we should apply that is we say, how do we know where God has spoken? All right, let's just take a step back and say, how do we know where God has spoken and who we should listen to? Is it the Bible and Jesus and Christianity? I mean, obviously I think that because I'm a Christian pastor, but why? Why should I think that? What about the Book of Mormon and Mormonism and Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and that further revelation of the Lord Jesus that they say they received in the 1800s? Or what about the prophet Muhammad in the 600s who came along and he said he was the final prophet and he had a word from the Lord? How do we know? Well, the Lord gives confirmation of the one he has called and chosen. Just as Moses and Aaron, the Lord performed through them repeatedly public miracles that were verified by multiple eyewitnesses, so also you see throughout Scripture, the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry did repeated public miracles that were verified by numerous eyewitnesses, and people could verify these things. Even his enemies, even when Jesus was put on trial and condemned to die, nobody ever came forward and said, this man claimed to do miracles, but he never did any miracles, because they would have been laughed out of the room, because everybody there had known that Jesus had done miracles, and they had seen the miracles he had done. And ultimately, the final verification is the resurrection itself. And we have a picture of that resurrection in Aaron's bud, in Aaron's staff that buds. What is a staff? What's a staff? The most basic level. It's a dead stick, right? It was cut off of a tree. It was shaped into a stick. It's dead. It no longer has any life in it. And yet Aaron's staff resurrects. Aaron's staff blossoms and brings forth fruit, almonds. Not only almond blossoms, but actual almonds. Overnight! This is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and was buried and was stone cold as the slab he was laying on, but he rose again. He rose again on that first Lord's Day, Sunday, Easter morning, Resurrection Day, almost 2,000 years ago, and he had life, and he had life-giving power, and he bore the fruit of salvation in his resurrected body. And that's how we know that he's the one to listen to. Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, there was never any accompanying miracles that were verified. There was never any objective eyewitness verification, even of the revelation that they claimed to have received. Same thing with the prophet Muhammad, never did any miracles. No verification of the revelation that he received outside of his brother. So, you know, there's this problem with a lack of authentication in these things. Whereas Jesus and Christianity and the Church of Jesus Christ, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, has verification. And so there are many so-called spiritual leaders and prophets and those who say they're sent from God and say they have a message from God, but the one whom God has blessed, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his resurrection, has authority to speak, and he speaks through his word, through those whom he called to be his apostles, those whom he inspired by the Holy Spirit, and those who wrote down the word of God as a faithful testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we need to do. But look at how God's people respond to this sign. God gives them this miraculous sign so that they will know, listen to Aaron. He's the anointed high priest. Is he perfect? No, but he's God's chosen and anointed high priest. Listen to him. And their response is not repentance. Do not read verses 12 and 13 and think that the Israelites were repenting of their sin. They were not repenting of their sin. They were despairing of ever having any hope. Rather than take the positive sign that God gave them in the staff of Aaron that produced blossoms and ripe almonds and saying, "We will worship according to the law of Moses under the high priesthood of Aaron. We will draw near." They say, "We can't draw near. Everyone who draws near is going to die." Why'd they say that? Well, because of the 250 elders who had brought their own incense in their own censers and had been struck dead, and because of Korah and his associates who were swallowed up by the earth. But that's because those people rebelled against God. That's because those people said no to God's appointed authority. I want to go my own way. God is simply and graciously and miraculously showing them, come back to the right way of worship through the right authority, and you will be received, and you will be blessed. There is life here. He's literally showing them, there is life here. And yet they don't want to believe it. All they can see is death. People act the same way about Christianity today. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And people say, "Well, Christianity is just so narrow-minded and judgmental. We're all just condemned." No, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus says, "I am the door. Whoever enters by me will find eternal life." And yet people say, "Oh, that's so, it's so hard, and it's so narrow, and we're all just doomed. Christianity just says we're all going to be condemned forever." No, Christianity says, come to Jesus and have life. But the world responds the way the people of Israel responded here and said, there's no hope for us. There's nothing we can do. Come to the Lord. Call upon his name. Seek him while he may be found, and you will have salvation. There's salvation nowhere else. There's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved, is what Acts 4:12 tells us. But in the name of Jesus, there is salvation. There is life, there's forgiveness, there's peace, there's hope, there's joy, there's forgiveness, there's adoption as the children of God forever. Come to him, worship him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gospel of life in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Please draw our hearts to follow after Christ and to find in him everything we need for life and eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that was Numbers chapter 17. Tomorrow, Numbers chapter 18 is on tap. Hope you'll join us for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.